and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Fairchem Organics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. And I've handed the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Fairchem Organics Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the fourth quarter of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, a quick cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Nahush Zariwala, MD and Chairman, and Mr. Rajan Zaveri, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rajan Zaveri to start with his opening remarks on the financial highlights. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Purvangi. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our earnings call for the fourth quarter of the financial year 23-24. Let me first start off by giving you some of the key financial highlights, after which our CMD, Sri Nahush Zariwala, will give you some of the operational highlights. For the fourth quarter under review, the revenue from operations stood at 161 crore rupees, which grew by around 6% on year-to-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter declined by around 2% to INR 19 crores, with EBITDA margins reported at 11.71%, and the net profit was flat year-on-year at around 12 crores. For the financial year ending 2024, the revenue from operations declined marginally by 4% to INR 622 crores, EBITDA was down by 7.5% to INR 67 crore, with EBITDA margins reported at 10.78% and the net profit was down by 7% to approximately rupees 41 crore. Now I request our CMD, Sri Nahush Zariwala, to brief you on the operational highlights for the period under review, that is quarter 4.
Good afternoon, everyone. As all of you know, Indian specialty chemical sector is passing through a rough time, but still in such tough conditions, I am happy to say that on operational front, we have witnessed a growth of around 15% in volume on quarter-to-quarter basis across all products. And while in value terms, there was a decrease of approximately 8%, which was mainly due to decrease in the raw material and finished product prices, which are linked to the commodities. There were initial losses incurred in form of loss of material and high utility cost while establishing and stabilizing the production of isostatic acid at the desired quality level within our facilities, which marginally impacted EBITDA margins. We remain quite optimistic about our new high-value product isostatic acid. We have done a full container load export of the isostatic acid to Europe in the year in the month of March, and have secured more export orders for this product from both existing and new customers. And we are also actively pursuing approvals from new consumers and are anticipating a very positive response, and we really expect the plant to go on full operation capacity utilization by end of this year. With that, we can now start the question answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashish from NMSQ. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, as you mentioned that the industry is going through challenges, would you like to highlight something on how the profitability is likely to shape up? Because we used to be 15% plus margins, now we are at around 10-11% consistently. How do you see this maybe changing over the next 12 months? And secondly, on the you mentioned in your presentation also, isostearic acid has been well accepted. So overall, on a company basis, how does the volume growth trajectory look like from a 12 to 24 months basis?
I would like to say that yes, last year the profitability margins did get impacted. But that was more associated with our trials which were going on for stabilizing isostearic acid on the plant level. And as you are, I mean, you must be aware, we are the only company making isostearic acid in India and no technology is available off the shelf. So whatever product stabilization has to be done, which we had developed on the pilot plant, had to be done on the plant itself, and which translated in substantial amount of losses in form of loss of material and high utility cost. And I'm happy to say that the quality what we have started manufacturing is of the acceptable standard and is matching any of the products available in the market made by any of the European or US-based manufacturers, and we have started exporting our product to the developed economies of Europe and US. And in future, whatever the growth is going to come because of the isostearic acid in short term, and the margins also, what we feel is will again roll back to the level of around 15-16%. And that would be because of the high-value forward integration project of isostearic acid. And secondly, as regards the volume growth, in last year also when the times were tough, we grew by 15%. And we expect to maintain the momentum. And it looks like that current quarter also, we feel that we might be able to maintain the momentum of growth, which normally we have been doing every year.
So, sir, is it will be a fair assumption that given the capacity utilization that we are right now, overall as a company, maybe around 15 to 20% bracket of volume growth is doable for the next maybe 12 months, and margins, is there a picture of margin improving anywhere, or is it a kind of an aspirational number for us right now in terms of inching it up?
Isostearic acid is a forward integration project.
Right.
So, obviously, the margins are going to improve. It's not going to impact the top line much. It's going to impact the bottom line.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Two or three questions from my end. You know, if I were to look at, you know, the numbers post-COVID and from 22 to 24, our, you know, top line is still lower, our margins are still lower, we've, you know, tried to diversify and get into newer products. So, you know, from the existing end customer point of view, is it, you know, there is downtrading in paints, is it inks which is not growing? If you could help us understand what is happening in, you know, two, three of our key segments why is it that despite, you know, capacity expansion, despite we being competitively priced and, you know, having a good relationship with customers, we've not been able to grow? So is it volatility? Is it, you know, less orders from paint companies? If you could help us understand that. And, you know, once the forward integration, we were testing the products, we had dispatched, you know, some of the newer products which we had developed. So how is the response, and next year what kind of a growth do we expect from the new product in terms of, say, contribution to sales? Those are my two questions.
We are talking of last 4 years. You are talking of last 4 years. So 2021 was the COVID year, and I understand that across the world the performance was affected, because from March 2020 onwards, for at least next 6 months, the impact of COVID was so much in India. So except for pharmaceutical companies and to some extent food companies, all other companies were impacted. So 2021 is for that. From 21-22 onwards, if you see our past presentations also, there has been a continuous volume growth. Now, as far as value is concerned, as the top line is concerned, it is dependent on the commodity pricing. If there is a surge in the commodity pricing, our top line would be higher irrespective of the volume. And if the commodity pricing is lower, then the top line could be lower. So as far as value is concerned, it is not entirely in our hand. What is in our hand is to achieve a continuous volume growth. And that has been there since 22-23 was higher than 21-22. And 23-24 was again higher than 22-23. And 24-25, we expect again volume to be higher than 23-24. And as far as improvement in EBITDA margin is concerned, as our Sri Nahusbhai responded to previous query, that isostearic acid is a value-added product. So because the value-added product, see, our raw material cost would remain at that level only, whatever product we were selling. Earlier, we were selling monobasic acid, and for monobasic acid, whatever was the raw material cost would remain at that only. From monobasic acid, we are further making isostearic acid with some additional cost of chemicals or catalysts, etc. But it is a very high-value product. So what we are expecting is that there will be marginal increase in the top line, but there should be a substantial increase in the bottom line. And that is how we want to get back to an EBITDA level of 15% for the current financial year. I am talking of financial year 24-25, not talking specifically for this April-June quarter. We are hoping to improve on a quarter-to-quarter basis, each quarter coming 3-4 quarters of this financial year, to improve our EBITDA and achieve a rate of 15% for 24-25.
But, you know, Sanjan bhai, if I were to, you know, try and, you know, take this discussion further and, you know, look at 22-24 at a time when, you know, commodity prices have fluctuated, they've gone up, they've gone down. But, you know, despite that, our margins have been very muted, na? So in case, you know, the end product prices have, you know, risen, top line should have risen. Here, you know, we are seeing a lesser sales growth or muted sales growth plus a margin compression. So it's neither showing in margins nor it's showing in top line, is what I'm trying to understand.
The top line, for the top line, not the achieving the growth in top line, so I have already explained the reason for that. What is in our hand is volume growth. Now coming to the margin, see, this COVID did not stop from March 20 to September 20. It was having a second phase from April 21 onwards also. And then, see, we had the capacity in place, we had the ability to purchase the raw material, but suppose if for any reason we are in a B2B segment, suppose our customers, we are in B2B segment, and our customers, if they want to get rid of their inventory and they don't want to purchase for a particular quarter or a couple of months in a particular quarter, then we have not lost the customer. Earlier also we have said that we have not lost the customer, but that it is not in our hand, and that is how to address those things only. The management went for this isostearic thing from as a value-added product from monobasic acid, and now we are at a stage where we are destined to get the fruits of that development which we carried out since last 2-3 years.
Okay. And any commentary you want to give from the demand from paints or inks? How has it been last year? What are we seeing?
As you said, we grew by 10 to 15%. I mean, we are getting new customers, and our old customers are, we are retaining our old customers. We have not, we haven't lost a single customer, neither we have seen a drop in, offtake from a single customer.
And paint industry volume also, all companies put together, paint industry volume growth also would have been in the same region of around 10% only, what we achieved.
We achieved, in fact, 15%.
Okay, fine. Thank you. If I have more questions, I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nirak Shah from Exemplar Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Can we have the absolute total volume figure for Q4 as well as FY24?
FY24 figures, I think we have already given in the presentation, and the Q4 quantity process Q4 was 19,000 tons raw material Q4 figure.
19,000 and FY24 is around 65,000. Okay, and what is the revenue in value terms of our key products, linoleic and dimer?
Linoleic dimer, see our that is a very good question. Earlier we were having our revenue percentage from our prime product generally hovered around 75% or so. But after this associated thing started and we made started processing more and more of that on a trial basis, our realization from prime products is now has reached approximately 85%. So that is a very good sign, and that should go a long way going forward in improving our EBITDA margin. So our linoleic acid, dimer acid, toco, isostearic acid, and other fatty acids, which are all getting us a value which is higher than the corresponding raw material cost, is now close to 85% of our total sales in value terms.
Okay, and what is linoleic particularly? Still 45% contributing?
Linoleic is still 46%. I will tell you the exact number. It is still 46%, yes.
And dimer?
Dimer is again 27%.
Which is expected to go up in future.
Okay, and what is the update on the new raw material project that we were planning?
Oh, that is going to take some time. We'll be able to talk in the last quarter. Because again, it's a very novel product, and already R&D work is over, and we have started work on pilot plant.
So commercialization is not expected this year.
It's going to take some time.
And what kind of volume sales we expect from isoteric in FY25?
Fairly good volumes. Already we have started shipping the material in container loads.
Okay,
and so... So
in pool and pool theory of business, there is a pool for these isostearic things. We are not required to push. We are only required to make the isostearic acid.
In fact, we have currently more orders than what we can produce. Plant is stabilizing, so that is taking little time.
So it will take how much? One or two quarters it will take more for stabilization?
Maximum one or two quarters, maximum.
So by second half, we should see good sales of isostearic.
Maximum, outer limit should be September. By that time, 100% it will be stabilized. Working at full capacity.
Okay, and just last question. You talked regarding one-time stabilization cost for isostearic. So how much was that for FY24, and is it recurring in nature, or are we through it?
We are through with it.
And what was that one-time cost in, how much it impacted?
It's not a one-time cost. It cannot be put in exactly a one-time cost pattern because we started running the material on the plant in month of July.
Okay.
Then we do some trials, there is a loss, we stabilize the product, again we go back to R&D, do something. So it's not a, you cannot put it as a one-time loss.
So we can't quantify it.
longer period. And we cannot put it in exactly rupee terms also. So much so was lost. But we lost. I mean, that much we...
And there are other related things also in terms of power and utilities also for that. Ne?
Yes.
By material cost, what we mean is whatever the process, and suppose that perhaps did not work out to our desired level, then the material would get inferior and then we might be required to dispose of it at a lower value. So those kinds of losses also would be there. So there are multiple things when we say that there are startup losses kind of a thing.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raj Shah from Stateros LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so if I look at the other expenditure, you know, I think this quarter there has been a substantial rise in the other expenditure, you know, as you reckon that, you know, it is because of the stabilization cost. As I understand that, it's very tough.
See, you, if you have a volume growth of 15%, then your okay. These other costs also to that extent would be higher. Ne?
Okay. But would it be possible for you to, you know, give us an idea of how much those stabilization costs would be for us to understand that what could have been the margin for this quarter, assuming that the stabilization cost would not have been there?
No, it is not separately worked out that way.
Okay. And you know, from what I understand, you know, that the realizations for ISOs, you know, is roughly about, 1.2 million a ton. So is it fair to assume that as it's a forward integration for us, the gross margin should be roughly about 70 to 75%?
No.
If I can do that, then my profit.
What did you say is the ISO steady price?
No, if I, because I think on the previous call, there are a few participants who said that the ISO's realization could be in the vicinity of 1 million per ton. Right?
1 million per ton? 1 million what? Dollars?
1 million rupees.
1 million rupees.
So could you just help us share the realizations for ISO, if it's possible for you?
No, it won't be. I mean, it won't be advisable for us to do that. It won't be advisable.
Okay, but that's just my side.
It is good. It is really good. I mean, by any standard, it is good.
Is it fair to assume it's double that of Dimer?
No, no, anyway, Mr. Sir, we are exporting these things. Whatever. So, after the month is completed, now the government is coming out with an export-import data also. So, you will get this to know through that data also, each month what is going to be our associated price, and that would vary. See, as Nauji said, we are stabilizing until the time we fully stabilize by September, this price would vary. So there is no point in communicating that what is the isostatic price as of now.
And the absolute full volumes and everything we can talk Q2's
earnings call.
Earnings call.
Okay.
100% clear.
Okay. That's it for my guy. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So as we are diverting such large capacity to the new raw material, so do we have any plan on paper as to how much contribution will such diversion bring to the top line in FY26? Because you said it will commission around FY and by the end of this year.
You are talking of the new product about which we are still working on.
Yeah.
Oh, no. We haven't done any investment in the equipment on that plant.
No. So I am specifically talking about the the capacity that you have diverted to the new raw material.
Yeah.
Oh, isostatic acid.
No.
Yeah. He's talking about isostatic.
You are talking about the current, this isostatic acid export about which you have been talking since last few minutes.
So isostatic, you have already guided that it is for forward integration and all.
Yes.
I'm talking about the one that you said will commission around by the end of this year.
No, I mean, that project is the new raw material what we are working on. Again, it's the first time anyone will be making in India and one of the few in the world. And it's taking its own time. Already we have purchased the pilot plant and we are working on the pilot plant. So, I mean, at this stage, I can say one thing that at lab level, we have seen the encouraging results, and so that's the reason we have gone in for pilot plant. But, we'll be able to say something on that by end of this year.
All right. And just to confirm an answer to the previous participant, because the isostatic expenses will subside in Q1, the stabilization expenses, so that will lead to increase in margins. So you said that it will bring the EBITDA back to 15% in this quarter itself or by the end of this year?
End of this year.
No, we say that on an annual basis, this will be gradually will reach to 15%.
Achha, all right, got it.
It will increase each quarter, that percent would increase each quarter, and when you see the 12-month results, you may perhaps find that it is 15% on a 12-month basis.
All right, and so ultimately 15% EBITDA when isosteric will kick in properly. Fair to assume?
Yes. Fair enough.
All right. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Yagnam from MSEC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Two short questions from my side. What would be the export mix in FY24, sir?
What was the export?
Yeah.
Export was 5, and that is mentioned in the presentation. For Q4, it was around 5% of our total sales. But going forward, our export will increase because, as Sri Naudi said, gradually we are going to increase our isostatic acid export to US and Europe, and it is a high-value product. So that export percent would gradually increase. Last many years, we were focused more on the domestic sales because we were in fatty acid business, like dimer acid and linoleic acid, etc., which had a huge market in India. And so we were focused on Indian market. But now with this isostearic acid, which is a product meant for the end users of this product are in Europe and USA mainly. There are in Japan also, they are there. So that is how our export would gradually increase from this 5%. You may find that in 2024-25, our export would be exceeding 10% or may even reach 12 to 15% also.
All right, sir, great. And with regards to dimer, so in the last con call, we were discussing that dumping from China has been on the downturn. So how is the situation now, and has our Asia business grown?
No, we don't see any dumping now. No, we are not seeing any dumping from China anymore.
Yeah, all that. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you again. So, as of now, we know that this Grasim is entering into the paints business. So, is it going to be beneficial for us, or will it affect our demand in any sense? Any updates on that?
Already, our product has been approved by Grasim. It's already approved. So, I mean, we are absolutely safe. We have been supplying material to the all five big paint customers. So if whoever market share goes up, I mean we are fine with it. I mean, we won't lose any. If, for example, Asian Paints market share goes down and Grasim share goes up, then we'll be selling more to Grasim. I mean, because our products are approved at the R&D and production level. So we are comfortable.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the chance. to ask. Sir, just a couple of questions. You said on a 12-month basis, we could be 15% EBITDA margin because of isolated acid. So does that mean as we go forward in the end of the quarters, the margin can be higher than 15%?
Yes. In the terminal, in the fourth quarter, margin would certainly be higher than 15%. Then only the entire average, year's average would be 15%.
Right, sir. I just want to ask some basic questions on the dimer asset to the paint companies, the branded companies that we sell to. How much of their requirement comes from us? And how much do they?
We have around greater than 2/3 market share. Maybe around 70% of total India's market share. Balance comes from import.
Right. So yet, when the dimer acid China pricing was coming off, we had to reprice based on that as well because those.
Yes.
Right. Because
we have to match import prices.
Right, got it. And I think because we use the raw material, which is, does it, I think if it was an old thing that we, our cost is lower than China synthetic because we make from
Waste raw material. So therefore our cost
would be lower than China, so China would be selling at a loss when they were selling to India.
See, I mean, everyone knows that what is why the chemical sector in India is suffering. I mean, or you can see a number of chemical, specialty chemical companies' results, and you'll find the same story. I mean, in fact, I'm happy to say that we have been, over the period, we have become one of the most competitive manufacturers, whereby in the worst market scenario also, we have been able to maintain our volume growth and haven't seen major erosion of EBITDA margins.
Right. And so when has the price from China stop falling, like in which quarter or which month?
Last call also we had said that it is already stopped. So it happened in first quarter and second quarter. Long back.
Okay.
First and second quarter it happened.
Right. So from now, from this revenue base, we should see the volume growth convert into sales growth.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'll come back, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirak Shah from Exemplar Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just I wanted to understand on our capacities. We have dedicated around 40,000 metric ton capacity out of total 120,000 for our new raw material project, right?
Yes.
So if we assume, say, 15% volume growth for FY25 for our old product, then we are expecting for the year around 74,000-75,000 metric ton for the year.
Yeah, volume. We will have 90% utilization of our existing capacity, 90% plus utilization of our existing capacity during 24-25.
Okay, then we won't have much leg room for further volume growth from our old products unless we expand capacities for our old products, right?
Yeah, we can. We have enough money on hand. We have, if the market is there, I mean, we have the knowledge about the raw material, finished product, equipment. I mean, we can expand.
Okay, normally if we reach 85% capacity utilization, then we plan further expansion, right? So is there any plan for further capex in this year for old product capacity expansion?
No, not in this year. And see, there are multiple options we can look at. Rather than going in for capacity expansion only, we can further upgrade our products to value addition. Only volume is not the answer. Only say, I mean, there are multiple ways to look at it.
Okay, so you mean forward integration and all?
Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And we are encouraged by our isotonic thing. We are absolutely encouraged. Our isotonic thing is an encouraging thing.
whatever investments we have done in our R&D is now started paying off.
So, if I understand in short, then we have multi-year growth strategy in place for the company,
yes,
as far as scalability is concerned.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yes, it's already in place.
Okay. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Dalila Keval Shah from Jitai Investment Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in line with the previous question that you answered, sir, do you think that, so there is a potential for a forward integration of linoleic acid as well, and you see a market for that as well?
Yes, it's there. It is there.
Okay, and the realization, so we are potentially, sir, looking for that, like in terms of our R&D and the resources being put to use, we are looking for any such product as well after isosteric.
Yes, already working on it.
Okay, and this would obviously be different from the earmarked capacity on the new raw material that we are working on, right?
Yes.
And sir, would you be able to give some understanding on the end application industry for the new raw material that we are working on?
It's going to my business. Basically, it's oleochemical only.
Yeah.
And I can say one thing that no one in India is making it. And in world also, there are 3 or 4 players.
Okay, and the end applications are of that would be in paints, cosmetics, or any of these?
High value applications in lubricants and, all number of high value applications. It's a biodegradable product.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, if we are to sort of expand going forward, maybe 1 or 2 years from now, would it be a brownfield expansion or a greenfield, sir, with our current land and capacity?
Greenfield.
It will be a greenfield. So, for this, for the coming year, we don't really have any plan for any capital expenditure, right? Any substantial capex in terms of any...
Except for forward integration capex. That's all.
And sir, how much could that be, amount?
It won't be much. It will be, we'll be using our internal accruals only.
We are not going for any
long-term loan or
long-term loan for that.
It's not going to cost.
Okay, so it'll not be a substantial amount in that.
Exactly. See, let me tell you one thing. Any forward integration projects are not going to be that capital intensive, neither at the same time they won't add too much of top line, but they'll add the bottom line. That would insulate the company for future.
Right. Understood, sir. Okay, thank you. Thank you for answering my question, sir. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. So you mentioned that the dumping from China, that stopped, I think, after the first half. So second half, we've not seen anything like that. So just a query that before, I think, FY23, 3 years, I think we were making 16% plus margins. And if the situation was like-to-like, even without our forward integration, we should be able to make that kind of margins, probably.
Dimer is not the only product, man. Gentlemen, Dimer is not the only product in our basket. Dimer is contributing between around 25% of the value. Balance 75% comes from other things also. And but Dimer, for the margin, achieving the margin of 15% or 17% or 13%, the pricing of dimer acid and dumping from China for dimer acid is not the only criteria. What is the raw material cost? What are the demand for other fatty acids kind of thing? All those factors put together gives the company's overall performance.
Okay, so there was still pressure on the margins versus what it used to be historically on the other products.
COVID period was entirely different for a couple of years, 2021, 2022, where entirely... Impact certain months of those years were impacted by COVID.
Okay. Okay. So now the situation is normalized for the other products, or is it still not as much?
It's normalized. It's normalized. That's the reason we are able to achieve 15% growth in volume terms.
Okay. No, so the margins have, on those products still would be lower than what it used to be then.
Margins have started stabilizing.
Okay.
Yeah, margins have started stabilizing, and with isostatic acid, as we are saying, we were able to improve our margins.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ashok Shah from LSC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, can you throw some light on the capacity utilization on various products?
Capacity utilization in our case is measured in terms of throughput of raw material, because from a single raw material we are deriving multiple products. So like a petroleum refinery, how many barrels they have consumed, we in our case also, how much of raw material we have processed, that is the capacity utilization. During 2023-24, based on our 80,000 earmark capacity for fatty acid business, our capacity utilization was more than 80%. And in 2024-25, we are targeting a capacity utilization of 90%.
So our sales should increase by at least 20%?
What?
So our sales, because we are targeting a 90% of capacity utilization, then our sales should increase by 20%.
From 80% to 90%, if we are increasing the capacity utilization, on a pro rata basis, it will not, sales would not increase by 20%. But yes, because our isostatic acid is a high value product, on a pro rata basis, the sales would increase by somewhat higher amount than the quantity.
So what we are saying is we will be getting a 10 to 15% quantity growth. So yes, sales would go up by whatever the quantity growth plus something.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sitanshu Shukla, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, any revenue guidance for the coming year?
No, we are not giving any revenue guidance, historically also.
Okay. And you told that you will be having operating margin of 15%.
Yeah, that we are saying that we hope to achieve on an entire yearly basis a 15% EBITDA margin. Yes.
So first 2 quarters, the margin will be low, and after the next 2 quarters, we will catch up, right?
We'll start going up quarter to quarter.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Manoj from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks again. So as you said that it's not only thymol acid that caused the problem, but other linoleic acid as well. And you said there were RM issues and kind of client...
I'm not saying RM issues. What I was trying to say was that there are other factors also which affect the performance. You were trying to make out a case that only because the dumping from China has stopped, the company's EBITDA margin should inch back to whatever it was. So what I was trying to say is that EBITDA margin of the company is not solely dependent on dimer acid, it is only contributing 25% in terms of value.
Right. So if you can help us, I think others also want to know that if you can help that other issues, if you can just be more granular, if it's possible, what were those issues and which other products hurt us, and
we have already communicated these that in a particular say October December quarter there was an issue of lack of demand. If you see our past presentations, this quarterly presentations, which is available on our website also for the entire previous year, all the four earning calls, you will come to know that what were the reasons for each quarter.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management of Fairchem Organics Limited for closing comments.
Yeah, we thank you all the participants for participating in this earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Fairchem Organics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.